Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Master, tell my brother to give me a share of our inheritance." "My friend," he replied, "who appointed me your judge or the arbitrator of your claims?" And he said to them, "Watch and be on your guard against avarice of any kind. For a man's life is not made secure by what he owns, even when he has more than he needs." Then he told them a parable. There was once a rich man who, having had a good harvest from his land, thought to himself, "What am I to do? I have not enough room to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods in them. And I will say to my soul, you have plenty of good things laid by for many years to come. Take things easy, eat, drink, have a good time." But God said to him, "Fool, this very night a demand will be made for your soul, and this hoard of yours, whose will it be then?" So it is when a man stores up treasure for himself in place of making himself rich in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord. So obviously, on one level, the Gospel this week's focus on our attitude to wealth. Be on your guard against any form of avarice. But we also have to bear in mind that this is one passage in the Bible. And it has to be read alongside others. So I'm not trying to explain away what the Lord says here, but I am saying you have to contextualize it. Because if we look through the Gospels, there are examples of very wealthy people who were never challenged to give away their money, and who used their wealth to support the Lord. So if you take, for example, the obvious example is Joseph of Arimathea. You remember that our Lord is laid in the tomb that belongs to Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea is able to afford the tomb because we're told in another part of the Gospel that he was a wealthy man. But he put that wealth at the disposal of the Lord, of Our Lady, and helped them with the material goods that he had. Or if you look in Luke chapter 8, especially verse 3, there's the account of the wealthy women who support Jesus and the apostles during their public ministry. And we're given the names of some of those women. So we're told that Joanna, who is the wife of Herod's steward Chuser, is one of the women who support the Lord. And we're told that Susanna is one of the women who support the Lord. Presumably we're given those names because that either those women or their children were known in the early Christian communities. Then if you look at the history of the church, absolutely there have been excesses. But there are also examples of wealthy patrons who have supported hospitals, built universities, funded public libraries and public works, and have used their wealth to help others in times of famine or distress. And I say this to you simply because the church's attitude to money, to material wealth, is not simple. It is not black and white. It is not money bad, poverty good. Absolutely not. Nonetheless, within the church, there is the example of religious life. We hold up those people as witnesses to the faith who have chosen voluntarily to embrace a life of poverty. heroes in the church's life, people like St. Clare and St. Francis, St. Dominic, and you could multiply examples. There is no doubt that the pursuit of wealth can lead to great injustice. We all know that. And we also know that the possession of wealth can be corrupting. But in the end, it is not the wealth itself. It is our attitude that determines who we are. So remember, our Lord says, watch and be on your guard, not against possessing wealth, but watch and be on your guard against avarice. This avarice, that attitude of the human heart towards the material goods of this life, that can be so corrupting. It's not wealth itself that determines who we are, but our attitude to wealth can very well be determinative of who we are. Money in the bank may allow us to provide the best we can for our families, for our friends, for our loved ones, to give to charity, to support good causes. But money is just an instrument. It is not an end. And so we can't place our trust and our hope in what is not final. Money is an instrument that allows, that enables us to do what is important. But it is in the doing of that which is important that we become the person we will be when we stand before God who judges us. Some of us may be called by God to stand as an exemplary witness and renounce all our possessions. If you are called to that, then you should speak to Sister Miriam, the religious sisters in St. Columbus, or you could speak to Father Dermot, one of the Dominican fathers up at St. Albans. Many of us won't be called to that radical witnessing. Many of us will be called to remain in the world and to continue to operate within the world. And that means that we do need material things. But the question is, what will our attitude to those material things, to that material wealth, be? If we allow the desire for money, for material wealth, to corrupt us, and so become misers, then there is a good chance that that money, those material possessions, will weigh us all the way down. That is possible. But at the same time, if we use the material things that we have been granted in this life, we receive them gratefully as a gift from God. And if we use them wisely for the betterment of ourselves, for the betterment of our friends and family, and for the betterment of our society, then it is very possible that in the use of that wealth we will become the saints that God wishes us to be. That in the wise stewardship of the wealth that is granted to us in this life, we will become the person God wishes us to be for all eternity in heaven.